Hello, everyone. Connor here again on my own. Sam is out. Gabe is out as well. You know, some of you may have already come across a kind of scary sounding headline, and it's about how the novel coronavirus SARS-CoV-2 has become more infectious. And if you don't read it carefully, you might also think more deadly as a result. Well, I'm here to connect you to a researcher who was involved in figuring that out and can tell you why this was something that scientists actually expected to happen.
Science Unscripted.
My name is Tushan De Silva. I'm a senior clinical lecturer in infectious diseases at the University of Sheffield in the UK, and I'm a co-author on the recent publication in Cell describing the D614G variant in the SARS-CoV-2 virus.
Let's get one thing out of the way real quickly. This virus is becoming more infectious, or has become more infectious, to put it more accurately. Is it more deadly?
No, and I think very reassuringly, we can say that with confidence in our data set and in other data sets, we've seen no impact on disease severity.
I think most of our listeners are aware of or have seen by this point, you know, that spiky protein ball, that red spiky ball that usually represents the coronavirus. When it's becoming more infectious, is it the spikes that are doing a better job? Is it the virus itself inside? Is it the way it uses a cell?
It's a good question. I don't think we know the complete answer to that, but two bits of work from other groups have suggested that this variant may make the spike protein more stable. And therefore, viruses with this more stable spike have a better ability to infect cells.
So, Tushan, what is the evidence that the coronavirus as we know it, the one that most of us are most familiar with, is getting more infectious?
So there's three bits of evidence, we think. One is when we look worldwide, viruses with this G variant have essentially appeared to have taken over and are now the dominant circulating strains. Secondly, we and others have found that patients infected with the G variant may have more virus in their nose or their throat. And thirdly, when you go into the lab and look at viruses with the G rather than the D variant, they seem to have a better ability to infect cells. We don't have direct evidence of it head-to-head with the D variant transmitting better yet in a human population.
Are there plans to do laboratory tests on animals to see how strain D versus strain G would affect them differently?
Very good question, and that's what's required to sort of answer this, that there isn't as yet a perfect animal model of SARS-CoV-2 that could answer it. And that's not work that, you know, our lab would do, but I'm sure there are other labs that are planning to do that.
Are there any comparisons that can be made to what you're seeing happening in SARS-CoV-2 to SARS-CoV-1, the original coronavirus outbreak back in 2003 that ultimately vanished? Are they doing some of the same things, or are they just completely different and we shouldn't even try to compare them?
Well, they're very similar. I mean, it's the most similar virus, really, one of the most similar viruses we know to SARS-CoV-2. It's very difficult to compare in that way because the epidemic of SARS-CoV in 2003 essentially was terminated, thankfully, successfully. So we haven't really had, we didn't have this extent of infections, and therefore we didn't really have the chance to sort of see any changes or evolution or have this number of sequences to look at.
Are we going to end up with dozens of different mutated strains? Is there any sort of predictive model for what happens to a virus like this one when it goes through a couple billion Homo sapiens?
I think it's very difficult to make accurate predictions. I mean, one thing to really say is that these variants or mutations occurring is not a surprise. I think there's been about 6,400 different variants to date that have been seen in SARS-CoV-2. You know, essentially, there's probably no action to be taken based on this because, you know, the event has happened. About 97% of current circulating viruses carry this variant. So hopefully that's in some ways reassuring. And I want to sort of, you know, get that point across.
Again, that was Tushan De Silva, one of the co-authors of the new study. He's at the University of Sheffield, where he's a lecturer and an honorary consultant physician. If you want to get in touch with us or have more questions about this topic or others, please do. We are su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.